Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. We are so grateful for the words of Ronald Reagan, and never get tired of the wisdom that he imparts from that speech. But tonight, we are joined by our dear friend, Miss Linda Murphy, who is going to share more wisdom and more insight. But as always, we like to start the show with a prayer. And Miss Linda, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I do not see our co-host, Mrs. Barbara Moore. And, you know, she usually starts us off with a little bit of history, and I don't see her, so if you don't mind, Miss Linda, would you mind starting us off with a prayer?
Okay. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time that we can share information and work together, Lord, to inform people about things that are important to themselves, to their family, to their children. And, Lord, we just thank you for protecting us and providing a way for us to live in freedom in this country. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Miss Linda, she cannot join us tonight. She has had major things that she had to do this past month of December, and she's still recovering. So she's not going to be able to tonight, but, you know, I'm sure she's going to listen in. And but we're so grateful for her, and I know she hates this, that she's not on with you, but on we go.
Okay.
And we are so grateful. We're so grateful, Miss Linda, because, you know, God is so good, and I thank God for the technology that he has given us. It can be used for good just like everything else, right, Miss Linda?
Yes,
you can use things for good, or you can use things for evil. You can use a bat for good things, like play baseball, or you can use it for evil. It doesn't even take a gun.
Yeah.
You know, people want to take away our guns. Well, you take away the guns, they'll find something else. So, but it's really the hand that moves things. And I think that's where we're at. This is just a very important juncture in our nation's history, because we know that whoever trains up a child, as the Bible says, you know, it matters. It matters to God, and it really should matter up to us. And we're at a point where we're so busy, parents are so busy, and we have trusted our education system for really far too long. And under, you know, that busyness, and I believe most parents love their children. There's a few that, unfortunately, you know, you have evil and good in people, and sometimes the evil is there, and yeah, you do find, you know, strange situations. But for the most part, I think most parents, you know, love their children and want the very best and would like to be there helping their child learn more than they ever learned in their lifetime. But what we're faced with, I think, is something that Sarah Palin or somebody has said, is for the first time ever, it's almost like we're handing to a future generation, really a more dismal future. You know, we're not handing them a better future.
Right. I think we have so many problems on every hand with the economy and jobs, and whether students go out into the workforce with a college degree or not. There's quite a lot of difficulty in many parts of the country in finding a good paying job, good full-time paying job that is a career, you know, opportunity. So this is a time that we don't really like to see for our kids. We know it's harder for them in that way, but there have been hard times before. And this is where, you know, as Christians, we certainly must rely on the Lord, and that's what he wants from us anyway, is to know that we should lean on him and not to our own ways or own understanding, but to trust him. And we certainly have to work and do the things we need to do, but learning to trust him in difficult times is certainly something many of us have experienced.
And we have some great examples in history, and that's why I love history. Is I've got this, you know, Miss Barbara Moore, who just is a teacher of history, and, you know, she reminds me time and again about George Washington and this great man of God, a general. You know, he did not mind. He considered it a privilege to give everything to God, and it was a necessity, you know, as we've seen in the picture. George Washington kneeling, and we've come a long way. But I want to go ahead and tell the audience, if you've not heard Miss Linda before, Miss Linda has fought outcome-based education before and really helped win the battle. So what we're facing with Common Core is nothing new. It's just ramped up with so much more money, really, and so much, I think, more power than it was the last time. But they have learned from the past. They've found ways to get it where it's more palatable, but Miss Linda has seen through it, and she is one of those, along with others, that worked to get Oklahoma out of Common Core. And you know, but you still have to watch it, because they still try to push it. And so she's vigilantly watching it, and she has been kind enough really to give what she has learned to other states, and we are one of the beneficiaries of that knowledge and her, you know, grace, being so grace, full of grace to have shared so much time and really effort and study issues, you know, that's not even in her state, not even in her own neighborhood. And I think, Ms. Linda, you do exemplify what Christ said, which is to love others, love your brothers as you do yourself. And, you know, we are so grateful in Alabama. But if you don't mind, let's take a quick look, because I always love to remind people, you know, we're in a new year, and everybody's kind of like, I think a lot of people felt like they've lost. They lost in 2014. But as we were talking about the other night, we were talking earlier today, what we thought was a loss was really not a loss. It was a, if anything, it was seeing things through a better lens. And if you don't mind, share a little bit of your perspective on that.
Okay. Well, it is really quite discouraging as our eyes are opened and we see one layer after another of things that are really imposing changes on our homes, our children, our schools. And we know that it's a big, powerful backing with lots of money and people who I think in almost all cases have very, very good intentions in their own mind, in their own thinking, but it's a centralized control of our lives, of education and the economy, and that has begun to be implemented through Common Core State Standards, through the testing, where students are required to perform at a certain level to be able to pass. Certainly, we always want good student performance, but there are students with special needs. There are situations that are getting really dismissed and not dealt with directly, as we have in the past tried to provide individualized learning a lot more than what some of the teachers are able to provide now with the new, more slimlined process that is requiring all students to take the same testing, to try to get all students at the same level. And there's some issues with race that get brought into it, trying to bring various racial groups up to the same performance, which certainly we want all students to perform to the best of their individual ability. But we're never going to have all children performing on the same level that are the same age, because there are differences in people. And, you know, the differences in performance can be attributed to a lot of things. But we're just seeing a time where people are realizing how much the Federal Department of Education and now the Federal Department of Justice is coming right into the school with various programs with millions of dollars offered to buy into it. Race to the Top, for example, where we got the Common Core State Standards in most states, the state longitudinal data systems where all the data is being collected through the testing and assessing to be distributed to various state agencies, federal agencies, and even outside entities. These are at different levels of development, these processes of data collection, testing, Common Core Standards. These are all varying from state to state and school to school, even within a state. So you have to find out what's happening. But when you do, it can be very discouraging. And yet, we should be glad, because if we didn't know that these processes were implemented, then our children down the road, we would find out that they had a limited education, that data had been collected on them. So as difficult as it is to find out and deal with it right now, we really should be thankful that we know. And we have an opportunity to stop a lot of it, if not all of it. And, you know, our goal is to stop all of the intrusion from the top down and return to true local control, where parents and teachers working together make decisions about children that they know individually, not outside entities deciding what the goals are and what the performance levels are. Certainly, we should be able to prove our results. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem that we're seeing is Common Core State Standards and the testing systems that are being locked into place are very rigid, controlled from outside, and they are not really improving education. That's one of the main problems, is that education is suffering. So children are suffering.
Ms. Barb, I'm sorry, Ms. Linda. That is a lot. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that you're working so hard to really help us, because we really didn't know what we were dealing. You know, we got into the Common Core, and the biggest thing that stuck out to us is, why is it that there's little debate? Why is it that you're not making it transparent where every parent should know? It's kind of like, you know, with the FDA, they've got all sorts of things, right, that they give you, they want you to read and this and that, take it with, you know, water or take it with food. But with this thing, you know, I remember having to call people just to even make it to one of the regional conferences that they were supposedly having. I had to call people in Mobile, and Mobile is, people there are very interested in education, so why were they not aware? So to me, that was just a big red flag that this was being shoved down our throat without parental knowledge, so that there would be no input from parents, because, that is the aim of it. I hate to say it. It's about, we've seen it, we've studied it. It is very much about control. I even saw an article, which this gets away a little bit, but this is how bad it is. An article today about how the GED, the rate of GED is plummeting because they have made it so complicated with Common Core. So we're talking about the very, very poor that was even hoping to even get a job, you know, that requires even GED. No longer. I mean, it was such a drastic amount of downfall, the percentages.
Yeah.
It's just, I think the more people see that, which, you know, you got a little play in Facebook, the more people get that, that's another one of those that should be a big red flag, but this is not helping education.
No, it isn't. And, of course, this is all predicted and predictable, because this is really a giant experiment. Common Core State Standards, the philosophy behind it, the changes in the grading system, the requirements for teachers to be evaluated on student performance on test, putting the pressure on the system and the children and the teachers that has been put in place by this kind of astringent testing and dependence on testing, and then the tests themselves, as you say, the GED, which has been used for people who have dropped out or in various situations just do not have a high school diploma and to take the test and then go on in life with college or career, whatever they chose to do. But this GED test has in the past been very good traditional academics. It is a reflection. It is a picture of what the whole Common Core system does. It changes from traditional education to what is not academically focused, but teaching processes, different ways of thinking, and then measuring the performance of the student in those ways instead of facts, knowledge, information, mathematical skills and computation, reading skills. There is a degree of academic performance on the testing, but it's a much lesser degree. And all of these new processes are added. We've seen some of it more clearly, I think. Just a lot of people have seen this. The math examples that show multiple steps in doing a math problem. Numerous steps, and many times they're not logical to our typical logical reasoning. But it's a certain way of doing a process to arrive at the answer. And then the student who actually gets the right answer but does not do that process misses the problem and gets a you know, failing grade. So these are the kinds of things that are happening with the Common Core State Standards and the testing. So even if you don't have the Common Core State Standards being pushed heavily, which is happening in many, many places, but even if you don't, the testing itself can put the system into that type of education. I think that probably the very clearest focus on this is that this is about the ideas of groups of people who have been brought together on the national level through the National Governors Association, the Chief State School Officers Association, and a group called ACHIEVE, which worked with the NGA, the governors. And they developed what they consider, the people sitting on these panels and committees, considered to be the skills needed for the workforce and the kinds of academic skills that they think need to be in place for the workforce to be functioning at a high level. Well, there's much controversy about all of this. And back to my original statement on this part is that it's really an experiment. None of it's been proven. It's not researched. It hasn't been validated. And it's just very common sense to know that we should always prove something's effectiveness before we put it in place permanently. And especially
Ms. Linda,
to mandate it.
Yeah, you know, this is just, I think, one of the results that, you know, these are numbers. It says right here, more than 500,000 Americans earned the GED in 2013. By this December of this past year, 2014, only 55,000. So, and I'm thinking, you know, what are the implications of that? When you look at that number, that is an awful lot of people that really should be working, if not working. And, you know, everything has a domino effect. And I'm thinking, you know, that's just 1 year. You compound that with another year, two or three.
Exactly.
You're talking about masses, a million people in 2 years that should have been in working but no longer able to work. And when you think about a person who has a family, you think about the poverty, you know, of not having a job. And I think, you know, we're raising a society that will really, if the numbers add up, it's going to be a dog-eat-dog, because what does a lot of these people do that cannot find jobs? They end up, unfortunately, stealing, lying. They're criminals.
Mm-hmm.
They end up in our prison system.
Desperate.
So right there, it has already failed from that figure.
Right. I agree. And that absolutely reflects not working. And we can say, well, these people took the test and they didn't have the right kind of training for it. Well, perhaps so, but these are people who have been in an education program to prepare for the test. So it shows us the drastic change from traditional education, where you learn reading, writing, and math as foundational skills, and then you advance to more depth in reading and understanding in various subject areas. That is just traditional education. But Common Core and the testing that aligns with it is a whole different philosophy of teaching. And I really can't even call it education. I've called it edutraining, because there's a degree of education, but it's mainly about training people. And they're trained to think in certain ways. And I don't even think the processes that have been selected are even profitable or applicable in the real world. When you look at the way the math is taught, there are many of these processes that are just ridiculous. We hear this all the time from people who've taught and people, you know, who just look at it and know from their own experience this is illogical, illogical way to teach. And to try to learn.
Well, very, very sad. Very, very sad. Just looking at this article, just one lone article by itself on the GED, because I'm thinking that's foundational for people. And it's talking about, because of the computerization, it's, you know, it's hard because a lot of them are so poor, they didn't grow up, you know, with computers. So those people are really having a hard time. And even people that's in prison, it talked about the rate of, you know, of failure for those people that are trying to better themselves. It's very, I mean, it's like no one is trying anymore. And I'm thinking that...
Well,
that
we
just,
had a... Right. And to pull the rug out from under people, when we have a system that's worked and worked well to get people the basic education, to get that certificate in their hand, forward in their life, and now that's stopped. As you say, 80 to 90% of them are not passing this now.
And then,
you know,
again, Ms. Linda, you know, and again, Ms. Linda, I just can't help. I'm in shock at the thought of how this, you know, and Professor Milgram had said he is going to write an article because he said they have tried this before in California and Common Core was a failure. And they had to redo things, and to the point that, you know, hey, they did do so well.
Right.
And he was one of those that helped. But he said he's going to do an article because business people need to get it. What they're thinking they're working on will have the very opposite result as California experienced. And just really with this one example, Ms. Linda, I mean, I cannot imagine, having worked in social services, we're talking about these people are going to be now statistics to an already full prison system. They're going to be a statistic for our police officers, you know, police department to handle. And we're already, the system is already under fire right now. We're talking about Ferguson. So legislators really need to start thinking ahead because there's more to what they've been told. And it's really very dangerous.
Yes, absolutely. It is. We've known the importance of an education. I mean, that's just, we understand that. We know that. People know. But this has been brought in as an experiment, put in place. And I agree with you. The GED test results in 1 year's time and the difference there shows this system has been ransacked, really. It has just been turned upside down. It's been upended. And we need to get back on track. And, you know, we've got remediation just to catch up with the damage that's been done. And individual parents with their own children, you know, you really do have to know what your child is doing in the classroom. And this is something we learned, you know, back with outcomes-based education. You must go talk to your own child's teacher as a parent, find out what they're doing, how much time are they in the computer, what are they doing when they're online, what programs. Is that data being stored? Is it being collected? Is it being sent out of the building? Is this an online program, testing, assessing? You need to see examples of it. You need to see worksheets printed out. If things are not being brought home because so much is being done in the computer, you need to just ask for that because we do have a right for information. The Freedom of Information Act is applicable to all state and federal government and local government operations, much less your own child. So as a parent, you certainly have a right to know what your child is doing in the classroom. And don't assume just because you like the teacher, you like the administrators, they can be very, very nice people. And unfortunately, and yet, be teaching some of these methods and materials that you just need to know what it is. You need to know what it is. I have many friends that are teachers. I'm a teacher. So I'm not saying in any way that most teachers would intentionally do anything, you know, against a child at all. But I'm saying the idea and the concept in some of these plans and programs have been marketed to teachers, have been trained in their workshops to the point that some of them think, well, this must be a better way. But we also hear many, many, many teachers rejecting this, just as we do. And so you have to find out what your own situation is with your child, with each child, at each grade level, each class, what are they doing? What are they learning? What is the curriculum?
And
we
Ms.
can't
Linda,
assume.
You know,
we just can't assume.
Yeah, and two, one of the things, you know, that I think, you know, with the medical field is, you know, they don't want to do harm, right? That is one of their creed, do no harm. But it's so sad because a place that I would never have thought would do harm, the education system, is proven to be doing harm. You know, we have that testimony from Mary Cal Lamia from New York, who testified to the state board there in New York, the Regents. And she said in her testimony that her caseload increased 300%. And the first ones to start coming in were middle schoolers. They were honor students. And this really needs to be studied. I think when we hear that in New York, we think, oh, it cannot happen here. But unfortunately, what happens is the stress, what she was saying is when the tests started coming in, that, you know, the calls started coming, and the stress level went up, and it was passed on to the children. I mean, there were teachers that were, you know, holding, I guess, inducements to making good grades, like cookies and things like that. And you know, if you're not one that participated, well, you were just left out of that, you know. And I guess if you didn't do well, there's all sorts of incentives. So, you know, really, it changed that teacher from a teacher that normally encourages even children that don't do well, because there's now such a pressure to make sure that every child or a certain group of children, because that's what I'm hearing, is you know, you choose which certain children that you want to show that you can show improvement. Is that the value-added measure? I'm not really sure. But anyway, but it's putting pressure, and one of the contention in New York was it's now changed the relationship of the student with a teacher. Unneeded pressure was exerted.
Right. I have heard her speak, and I've certainly read a lot from New York, because New York has gotten out ahead of almost all these states in the amount of testing, teacher evaluation, curriculum, and the whole program being locked into place earlier, and the collection of data. So we've seen the problems down the road that we will have beyond where we are now, the problems that we're seeing in each state now to a degree, to whatever degree you are in your state, and from school to school, again, it varies depending on how much of this has been changed in your school at this point. But in New York, where it's all locked into place, that's where we see some very horrendous information and statements coming out from principals, administrators. There are groups of them, hundreds of them, that have gotten together to oppose this, because it is not true education. It is a whole new social change system that is controlling everything that teachers do in the classroom and students. So the mental health, we talked about that a little bit, and I know that in Alabama, your state has a mental health plan that is on the table for consideration that has not been voted in place. But a mental health plan for all students, kindergarten through 12th grade. Now, this is not something new as far as groups of people wanting to do this. The CDC has a brochure called Mental and Emotional Health Curriculum, a model MEH from the CDC, and it describes all of the different objectives that they want for every student, K through 12th grade, mental and emotional health. But we have not had this locked into place statewide anywhere in the United States at this point, to where every child would have goals that would be measured, the information entered into the computer to be kept in a file for each student. And you think, well, how can that be so bad? You know, you do want good mental health. But do you want that to be done without parental consent, with that kind of testing? That allows a school to go into the psychological area, not just the academic thinking of the mind, but the attitudes, the values, the beliefs, the character of the child. And goals can be set to change that, to change attitudes, to change values, to change character. So this is the danger. And you can give us an update on that as far as, you know, what the timeline looks like on that mental health.
Well, Ms. Linda, I'm just so grateful because, you know, you came to Alabama and really went on a tour that was a whirlwind tour, something that most people would not have done. And y'all did it in like 2 or 3 weeks, and you covered, top to bottom of our state, and even went into Florida. And so, you know, so much was done from that. And one of the things that you saw was this mental health initiative, part of this, unified learning support to implement all these things together to get people college and career ready. And you study the mental health guidance, and we are so grateful for that because we would not have had this opportunity to really push it back. And we have had a miracle, and we were talking about that, earlier this week, been talking about it since the beginning because we thought we had lost, but we needed to see that mental health because it is they can have their cake and eat it too. You know, it's what I started at. You know, they get everything. When they can assess and train every child, they've got everything. So you were able to draft a summary, and we were able to, you know, share that. And along with a great step from our Southern Baptist pastors who had great spine, great, tremendous spine to unanimously pass a resolution this November 11th, the day before people went to the State Board of Ed and spoke, got to speak. They weren't on the agenda, but, you know, God worked it out. But because of your help in pointing that out, our pastors had something to really sink their teeth in, and without a shadow of a doubt, they could not just what was being done before their very eyes.
Uh-huh.
The facts were there in the plan because it was so laid out by Dr. Bynes in his proposal. So that was stopped because the state board members, having a lot of common sense there that day, thank God, later realized, and they're still realizing that, you know, I don't think we need to go there in Alabama. We will.
Right.
Our pastors don't like it, as evidenced by the Southern Baptist, and certainly parents. Once they get wind of it, you know, they will not like it. And there were a couple of them. There was one that spoke up, and I've never heard Mary Scott Hunter speak up against, such a proposal that's part of the Common Core. But she actually did voice concern. And I could tell from the face of the others that I think they were shocked because that was probably the first that they had heard of such a pushback from a big, let's face it, voting bloc. So there was power there.
Right.
There was heavenly power.
Right.
but they knew that that is a voting bloc. And so it was stopped. They did not vote on it December, and they did not. They're not going to vote on it from what we're hearing January. We're hearing they're going to try to form committees, study it some more, see if they can fix something. But, Ms. Linda, is there anything to fix?
You know what? I just think that whole plan, I am sure that whole plan should just be tossed. It should be thrown away and just don't even go into that agreement at all as a state because there is a lot of other control involved through Berkeley, through the Center for School Health. I would want my own state goals, and I would throw 99% of that away. I think that there might need to be more services. I don't know how many services are available now to your students. I mean, I'm not in Alabama, so I'm not against mental health service being available. As a special education teacher, I certainly had students that needed that mental health service, but that was only with individualized parental consent for that individual student. And with parental consent, they were tested, and then we knew a direction to help work with that child in a mental health area. But this plan that we're talking about that I say should be thrown out is because it is written for all students, K through 12th grade, to have goals in mental health areas. When you open that door or you open that box, it really is Pandora's box. You're going to get things coming out and happening and being allowed because that door is open that we've not gone into before. The areas in the classroom that teachers are, you know, traditionally working in are called cognitive, where you're working with your mind, your attitude, your values, and your beliefs are with you, but the teachers do not have goals set for those areas. Those are personal, you know, the way that you think, the way that you feel. Now, when someone has a mental health need, once again, I'm not at all saying we shouldn't serve that. We should. But we must do that individually. We cannot do a group or a statewide, school-wide, K through 12 plan and then try to flag everything that we think looks like a problem because we're testing everybody in these areas. That is not the right approach. That's an approach that takes away personal freedom and opens a very dangerous door.
Well, I think that's a great point, Ms. Linda, because we're on a slippery slope. If you can change this generation, and, you know, we're already seeing a change. We're seeing a change in how teachers are being taught, you know, how history is being taught. And, you know, if we don't stand up now, there will be nobody fighting for parents' rights to even, you know, stop something like this and not allow. And so it's really a very dangerous time. But I'm so glad of the legacy because this is a fighting nation, you know.
Right.
We have a heritage here of being fighters, and that's what made us different. That's what made America different because they were exceptional.
Right.
They were not going to take what everybody else was dishing out because they knew what was right. We were given that privilege to be raised to compare everything through God's word, something that people have lost completely. Why is America so great? Well, she raised her children in the, you know, in the simple fact that she had to compare what she was being given by the world through the word of God, which I've heard Dr. Stotsky talk about how awesome the Bible is just in, you know, children reading it. Talking about higher, mm-hmm. deeper learning, reasoning skills coming from reading that book.
Exactly.
And people that, legislators, educators, a lot of them don't understand that. They do. They have missed that. And that's what made the founders great. They were reasoning. They were on a higher, deeper learning. And when we hear David Barton, and you know how David Barton talks about, you know, children graduated at age, you know, what, 12, 13, and, you know, in order to go to college, you had to, you know, transfer something from Hebrew to Latin or something like that, you know, something today, no one would comprehend a 13-year-old as groups, right? Not just one, in order to go to college, would have to accomplish. So we have come a long way. We have really, I guess it's what happens when you stray from the original because you think you know better.
And I think we
kind of like a child,
yes,
huh?
I think that we've been so spoiled as to the advantages and the opportunities, and so much has been built in our society for us, in our schools, our communities, our roads, transportation, telecommunications, all of these things. And when you're born in this age and it's there and it's always been there, you have to really take a purposeful effort to look at history and to know and appreciate that this doesn't just have to be this way. We could be in a dire situation like a lot of uncivilized areas of the world today. And it didn't just happen. It didn't just happen overnight. And it's not going to stay in place for future generations without passion, without effort. And as you say, the Bible is literature, just as literature, and the skills and the abilities developed in reasoning and thinking skills, because the language challenge is a cognitive, you know, exercise, just reading through and understanding the words that we don't speak every day, you know, challenging the words.
Even the cursive writing, sorry about that, but even the cursive that's being taken away, you know, Miss Joan Landis talked about, you know, how that does lead to higher, deeper level of thinking, and you can gauge that from the writings of the founders. You know, they're very, very beautiful, but it's because they're so complicated, and she said, as a student of what happens in the brain like you, it does something to the brain. and I hate it because, Ms. Linda, what's missing in our state and in many states is our legislators have not heard the truth. They've not really had the chance to sit there and ask really good questions to experts. They've been fed what Common Core is. There's all the glitz and the glamour and the money. Businesses have been too. But if they would have a chance to sit down with experts like you and many others, Professor Milgram, Sandra Strotsky, who is so readily available, then you know what? I don't see how they would want that for their child. You know, what Common Core is going to do.
Well, I think when they get their eyes open, you know, we've experienced in Oklahoma, when they really see what the details are in the standards, what is being left out in the classroom because these processes that they have to follow are taking so much time, there's not opportunity to really teach like teachers know how to teach. And when teachers tell them, this is one reason I try to get teachers involved, you know, all the time I work with teachers, because I want teachers to talk to their legislators and tell them what they know about education being changed, why we need to do this or that, or not do this or that through legislation. And they can do that privately. They don't have to get up and write an article that goes out in the public paper and then put their jobs in jeopardy, you know, because we have administrators that might want these changes and the teacher knows they're not the best way to go, but to speak out would jeopardize their job. So individually, if they're not speaking out publicly, they can still individually talk to their legislators. And that is very important because the people making decisions about what we're going to do in the classroom, in the legislature, many times do not know what that writing in law, that wording, will actually cause to happen in real life. They need to hear it. They need to understand it. And when teachers, they don't realize sometimes that they've got a very important place in this political battle. And so I've had many, many teachers across the state learn over this last year that their voice matters. And they have a relationship now with their representative, their senator, where they can talk with them and let them know. And this is really what's helped us, coming better informed about the details of these changes. What are they? What are we doing? And why do we need to go a different direction? We're not against reform. We're not against change. But you don't change to something that's not been proven. And you don't change what's already working. So there has to be some effort in looking at what needs to be changed, and then using proven methods, researched methods. And we've got plenty. We've got many of them, which are well documented in research and with experience and proof. I don't know if you've seen the 100-year-old math teacher that's been on some of the YouTube presentations lately, but she teaches at a private school. And she has 4 plus 4 equals 8 on the chalkboard behind her.
And she said she just couldn't believe it when she saw teacher was teaching 4 plus 4 equals 8 through multiple steps to get to the answer. It was ridiculous. You know, it's always been a simple process. So why complicate it when you're talking about one-digit numbers? Two-digit numbers gets a little more complicated. But we know there are different approaches you can use, but some of the new ones being brought in with Common Core are not logical. They take you down 5 different side roads to get to the answer, and then there it is, but it took longer than it needed to and became more complicated.
So I think that we've got lots of things happening. There's math, reading, some of the worldview in history, changing history that reflects a political agenda instead of historical facts that put all of the information on the table for students to learn and to learn to discern the difference between facts and opinion. A lot is being taught as history, which is opinion, instead of getting the facts. And then people might have different opinions about what mattered, what happened in certain situations when there's not facts to present. Sometimes people fill it in and say, this happened and that happened. But our students need to have factual information. And then they can decide their own opinion as they're maturing. But we really shouldn't expect little children to have opinions on some of the things that they have not studied. In fact, talk about higher order thinking skills. How does anyone think on a higher level when they don't have the basic facts and knowledge and information? You can't. You might think about it. You might decide you have an opinion, but it's made up of what information? To have a good, balanced, reasonable opinion, valid opinion, that's provable, that's, you know, that can stand up in situations, you should have the information first. Then you form an opinion. So some of these things are really off the track. And once again, as parents and teachers, we have to look at this very closely and see what is the end result of this exercise. What is the end result of this work page? You know, what is the goal here? We used to do what we called task analysis. Every worksheet, every book, every process that we taught, analyze it. What is it? What is it going to result in? You know, what skills are required? What skills are you developing by doing this exercise? And unfortunately, there's a lot of curriculum out there that is not worthy of what you would call good curriculum for education.
Ms. Linda, you know, I just also remember the the letters GIGO in computers, you know, garbage in, garbage
right.
out. And one of the basic things which you're saying is, you know, you need something that's been proven and been tested. Because you don't know.
Right.
And, if you know, you have to make sure you're not putting in garbage. Because, unfortunately, this is not just a machine. This is a child. You know, this is going to have
exactly.
so many repercussions for a nation, for generations to come. And so I just pray for everyone that is involved with allowing this to stay on. They need to do their research. When the Department of Justice grants $63 million for social justice school discipline to be promoted by terrorist Bill Ayers? Shouldn't that be questioned?
Yes.
Garbage.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, I agree. We've got a real problem there. Why do we even want the Department of Justice to have any kind of direct connection to our schools anyway? You know, that is a federal agency that should be involved in criminal activity and issues on a federal level. But this equity and excellence is what it's called, Equity and Excellence Commission National Opportunity to Learn Campaign. It all sounds wonderful, but it's when you read it, it lines up with the political agenda that we have seen coming through the Department of Justice, where certain issues of race and inequity and social justice are focused on instead of the normal operations of a Department of Justice. So I just think we've got a number of things like that, that like we're seeing in other areas with healthcare, with the economy, people trying to control and manage and micromanage details that are affecting our lives. And, of course, with school, we're talking about our children. So we certainly don't need more federal involvement there. We need the federal involvement controlling education to be stopped. We should not have this because legally they have no authority in local schools. As far as curriculum testing, we've got certain areas that are funded with federal funds, but that can be done without allowing the federal government to have a hand control in testing. And that really affects curriculum. If you control testing, you do control curriculum. And right now, the federal government directly involved in the testing. We've seen this testified from both sides of the political aisle. Diane Ravitch on the left, Representative Klein on the right, both say the same thing, and I agree. This is federal involvement in testing, which affects the curriculum. So we've got work to do.
And Ms. Linda, the comprehensive counseling guidance, it says it. This is a curriculum.
Yes.
That
right. It is set up as a curriculum. Yes, it is. That plan is set up. That mental health plan is set up for the state of Alabama, K through 12th grade, as lessons, as goals for individual students. It's coded so that it can be entered into the computer quickly and easily. So it is set up as a coded system for setting the goals for mental health for individual children. Individual goals as they tag or flag areas that stand out in this, according to the assessment, would show a red flag. That area can be then tagged for the student to have a goal. And then they would be trained to get the right performance in that area. And we're talking about attitudes, values, character, beliefs. All of that is written in the plan.
Yes, it's very, very sad when you read it. And so I'm so glad. Oh, Ms. Linda, cannot thank you enough for having studied it and, you know, and shared your expertise, because I tell you, it went around the state to key people. It has made a difference. And so we just ask everybody to really look into what you summarized. And, you know, that was key in 2014. We are so grateful for what we learned from you. Oh, my goodness. It's made such a humongous difference.
You know, I didn't know the plan existed. And when I started reading it, I was really shocked, to tell you the truth. I just have not seen anything in any state. And I've looked, and I've certainly looked now after reading it and analyzing it. And I do not find that. There are other states getting on board, but no one has put that into place at any level that we're looking at in that plan. There may be some today that are getting ready to. But, you know, I'm thankful. I thank the Lord for opening the doors and putting the right materials in the hands of people that needed to see it, and people using their minds and their hearts and considering what this is. I think what we are dealing with a lot, and as we've talked many times, Diana, in the political process that we're dealing with, people make decisions based on who their friends are, on personal relationships. They go to Chambers of Commerce meetings, PTA meetings. They go to teacher training conferences. They know people. They trust those people. They like those people. And when they hear things, they just trust it and they drink it in. They don't consider what it really means. And sometimes they're not given full information. They just get a piece of the bigger picture. And when it all comes together, it really is not what they've been told it will be. Just like standards. Teachers in Oklahoma were told repeatedly at workshop, Common Core is just standards. You can teach how you want to. You can use your own materials and your own methods. But that was not true, because the Common Core standards were just part of the process. And when you plug in the testing, that changes the curriculum. And the methods themselves were in the test. The methods were in the standards. There are methods that have to be taught to comply with the way that they're written. So there was just really a lot of false information that was given, that because of relationships and wanting to trust, and then when it's only, you know, a few parents here or there that are concerned, excuse me, I'm sorry, my cold has really been acting up.
Well,
today.
You have given
sorry.
Us so much of your time, Ms. Linda. Well, you know, it's almost like a Ponzi scheme, and we've seen that before, the
right.
repercussions of that. It's been, you know, we've seen
right.
that. And I hate to say, this is what it feels like to me. It's, you know, everybody's building on somebody's goodwill. But unfortunately,
right.
you know, the price to pay is really going to be paid by the child, because the dream is going to be taken away. That child that should be an engineer, that child that should be a mathematician, a world leader, mathematician will not be there. You
right.
know, the percentage
they
will
have
be so
to
small.
Have this basic education. That's right. That's
so
right.
It's stealing America's future, the dreams, and I think
mm-hmm.
I would hope the people that are listening, I pray for our legislators, state board members, governors, that, you know, go beyond what you're being told. Because I think you
right.
owe it to your family.
Right.
And you owe it to the people you're serving. And let's face
mm-hmm.
it, you know, it's just like if you don't do what's right, it comes back to you. It will come back to haunt you
right.
because no man's an island. We all are affected.
That's right.
So I just pray
that
do what's right.
And
let's
I,
not raise a dog-eat-dog world. Oh, go ahead.
Right. I really believe that people who have accepted this just have not looked at it that closely, as we're saying. They must individually stop and do some research, do some reading, and it won't take long to put together your own understanding of this. There's plenty of information. There have been tons of articles, journals, videos, meetings, you know, all over the United States about this. But if you just close your mind and say, oh, that's just a bunch of people opposing change, or they don't really know what this is because so-and-so said it's okay. No, you individually have to look, consider, do some reading, do some research. There are scholarly papers. There are everyday people talking about this, and you can hear it across the board. There is a consistency. Look at the standards for yourself. Look at the testing. Get into some of these education journals and read what's going on, and you will find that this is opposed because it is a huge mistake to change education in the United States into this new system, which is not going to work.
And Ms. Linda, I heard today, I think I told you earlier today, I heard somebody that was almost like was speaking for Boehner. The first thing that come out of his mouth, and it must be a top issue, was Common Core. So, you know, you're getting a lot of people informed, I believe, across the
uh-huh.
country. More people are doing their homework, and it's on the radar. It's now on
yeah.
our Congress's radar, and we're so grateful to God because we cannot back down. It means the world to, you know, the children, what they're going to be. And we do not want to raise thugs, because unfortunately that's one of the things that I think that I got the first time I watched Joan Landis. She says, you know, these children, you know, are going to be, they're living in that negative world right now. You know, their limbic system is in full use, you know, at early ages on it.
Yeah.
And even the books that they read are very stressful. They're very dark. And the math is no good. It's very confusing. All stress. She says, what you're going to do is breed a generation that is very easily manipulated, very easily triggered. And she says, you know, we don't want that. Nobody wants that, because we've seen what's happened with those kind of people. So with that in mind, folks, this is serious. You know, we go on this every night. We talk about a lot of other topics, but this has been one of the key, because we know that children are important to you. They're important to God. And as much as we'd like to keep our children safe, you know, and yes, we can put them in homeschool, and I hope that everybody that can will, and or put them in good private schools, and I hope everybody that can will. But the bottom line I see is just as was shown in that GED article, and you can find that GED article. There's a lot of that I've seen today now, is that, you know, it is going to make this a very dangerous world for your child to live in that you have raised so well, because the majority of the children goes to public school. So if we don't change things, that will be the majority that we're going to stick them into the culture. So we can't do that.
That's
we owe it to our children. We owe it to our neighbors, our friends, to work together. Do what Miss Linda did, which is, Sacrifice, you know, whatever it takes, an hour, hours to research if you don't know enough. Sacrifice to say, okay, I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to research and I'm going to prove them wrong. Sacrifice. But it really takes a humble heart, though, Miss Linda, and I'm afraid that's where they're going to have to ask God for help, you know, that there's a possibility they could be wrong.
In being in a very big, important movement, there's a lot of money. We talked about that a little bit, but there's a lot of money that's backed the publishing, the production of software, technology, and those who stand to profit as this continues to develop. That's the plan they have. And people who have been funding this for philanthropic purposes, just for giving because they want to help education. Of course, again, it's a futile loss of money, really, because it is not improving education, and I know some of those people intend for it to. That is absolutely their intention. But we need to step back, as you say, humble your heart, come away from the pride and the relationships of people that you know that like this, and look at it for yourself and take some responsibility as a citizen. If you homeschool, if you private school, with your children, your grandchildren, you still are in danger of this affecting your children, because it's changing testing, it's changing curriculum availability, and it could cause those folks who want to control education from the top, control the economy from the top, to then be so strong and empowered in our communities, they will have plenty of reserve effort and energy left to go after private freedom in private schools and homeschooling. And there are people who want to do that. I'm sure that most homeschoolers and private schoolers know that. So consider that, even from a selfish perspective only, that you really aren't safe from this kind of control system if it takes over in the public schools. We need to stop it before it goes any further and back it out of every state where we can get enough grassroots support to do that. And I believe Alabama is one of those states. Oklahoma, there are some others where I think we can do this. In other states, they're going to have a very hard time because of the political structure, the way that people vote and think. But we're talking about some states that are very well known to be independent-minded citizens. And Alabama is, Oklahoma is. We can fight this, and most of our legislators will listen at some point, but you may have to catch them at the country club. If you belong to the country club, you play golf, you play tennis, you know, sit down at dinner explaining this to some of your friends. Don't assume that it's not important. It is important to all of us, taxpayers. This is going to cost more money than we can provide to cover the technology costs that will increase, all of the things that will increase in education spending and not improving education. So there are many, many aspects to it.
It's a waste of money. I hate to say it, but it's worse than just a waste of money. You know, it'd be something if you know, you just wasted money and that's all that was wasted, but it's actually wasting your children. So that's, you know, and children are more precious than gold. So with that in mind, Ms. Linda, I'm going to close this in prayer again. Always so grateful for Ms. Linda, and she always listens to my plea of please come on, and so she'll be on again. And, you know, hopefully there will be not anything new, like another program that she has
no,
to decide for us.
We have enough.
This is enough, but we have seen the difference it has made, Ms. Linda. I think I would not be surprised if this was the straw that broke the camel's back for our pastors. I really think
that's
the comprehensive guidance counseling was it. So, but we're so grateful for our pastors, and we're grateful to God. So we're going to go ahead and end it in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. We're so grateful, Lord, that we live in such a great nation. Lord, we just got through a holy season where we are the beneficiaries, Lord, of your amazing grace that you sent your Son from heaven to be born and to live like the rest of us as a man, really worse than most of us. He didn't have a home. He didn't have, most of his bed was a pillow, was a rock. And Lord, we just are so grateful for you moving the hand of time and intervening so that we would have your example. And you said for us to love God first. And we understand that a little bit because we're in the safest place, just like a child who follows his father. He's in a very safe place. And we're in a very safe place when we love you and follow you and put our hand and put our trust and faith in you, because you're not going to steer us wrong. We're too valuable to you. We're so valuable you gave your Son to die for us on the cross. And Lord, Heavenly Father, just as your Son's birth moves everything in the world over, businesses wait for that time of the year because it's what helps them stay afloat. You have been such a blessing the world over. And Lord, I just pray that we don't get too above ourselves to not realize that, Lord, we have got to get low to accomplish anything. We've got to humble ourselves. You said to seek you, and we will find you. You said to knock and the door will be open. You said to ask and it shall be given you. So right now, Heavenly Father, I'm asking that all those who are listening, that they would humble themselves enough to ask you for help, to ask you for wisdom, to ask you to help them find the truth about Common Core and all its tentacles, the comprehensive guidance counseling, the data, everything, and to help them in such a way that they can grasp it. And Lord, know within their heart what is the right thing to do, and know within their mind what is the right thing to do, that there will be not the conflict. Because Lord, if they don't search for the truth, they will be in conflict. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet. Thank you for this great nation. And Lord, we are so grateful. And because we are grateful, we want to honor you. You said you seek true worshipers. You seek worshipers that worship you in spirit and in truth. That's where we want to be, Heavenly Father. We want to worship you in spirit and in truth. So we just ask that you would allow the listeners to move and find that truth. And we thank you, Lord. Bless Miss Linda. Give her total healing, Lord. We thank you. I thank you for this time she has given and many more. And just bless her and her family and her all the work that she's doing. Give her more supernatural wisdom because, Lord, that's what it was. Supernatural wisdom and understanding because there was so much, Lord. And we're just so thankful. And we pray, Lord, that your counsel will be heard, those who seek you and pray to you today. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Miss Linda, it was wonderful. You gave us so much information. I'm going to have to listen again. And again.
Well, thank you.
But thank God you're coming back.
Thank you.
So, I thank God that you have such a heart for children, Miss Linda.
Well, you know, I went to college to be a teacher and have been a teacher in the classroom and then worked in a clinical setting with vision and learning problems with children that had trouble with reading and continued to use my education, of course, there and worked with schools. And then I was in the governor's office working with education policy. And it's just not the way I thought it would be, my education career, so to speak. But I know that God has a plan, and he just put me in some places where certain things came into my hands that opened my eyes. And I knew that it was something I needed to do, was to just share what I saw. And I said to my husband, if most people saw what this was, they wouldn't want it. And it was just, that was my clear, simple message, you know, that most people in our state would not want this if they knew what it was. And so that's really how I started just speaking out. And I'd done some public speaking, so that part was kind of overcoming in the past already. I'd already overcome in that area, so it wasn't so hard to do. But I just started traveling, and really it's just been the same thing here again with Common Core. A lot of the same people are involved on the national level. We've talked about that before, but all of this just shows me God does direct our path. You know, he has a plan for our life, and if we get out of the way enough, we can hear that and try to be where he shows us to go, and he will produce the results, you know, through us. We don't just sit down, but we try to line up and do his will and not figure out our own plans. I think that's a lot of what we're seeing with this Common Core. People think they're a little smarter than they are, a lot smarter than they are. And trying
where
to plan
they're dangerous.
They are.
And
they
are. Yeah,
dangerous.
They're very dangerous. It's affecting
social
children, it's hurting children.
Yes.
And, you know, we're not going to have the Ben Carsons anymore if they get their way. Once I saw with a 5-year-old, it does not fit. The 5-year-old that was had to fill out a suicide chart checklist, you know, without her parents there.
This is the extreme.
But unfortunately, it was a one-size-fits-all form. And so this is drastic. It sounds awful, but it is really so bad. And so we got to wake up, folks. But Miss Linda's here to wake you up. So keep listening. And, oh, my goodness, I just pray, you know, Miss Linda, I think what you have done is you all have ratcheted up the knowledge, because it's just like I'm thinking of the feeding of the 5,000, you know. We went to groups. Some of them were very small, you know.
Yes.
But I just really feel like what God did with what little we had is compounded. And now we are just hearing so many people, and they're very, very active now. So I'm just
grateful for what y'all have done.
It's
great, and it was a real inspiration that you had and the others with you that planned this, and all of the groups coming together, 6 groups, I believe, coming together. That is just the way to do it. It's a grassroots, statewide effort. And when you've got overwhelming numbers up there at the state capitol, than, you know, calling and those legislators go in knowing their constituents are concerned, and not just one or two of them, but a lot of them, then you've got some changes coming. The way that we have our freedom in this country. You know, we are a representative government. We have our Constitution, and it's real. It's a real document for liberty, and we must use it and know that it's not just one or two people, but it's a statewide effort, and it's a representation at the state capitol to make those changes that need to be made.
And you know what, Ms. Linda,
it was so
timely and really ironic, maybe not ironic, maybe God put it there as an emphasis, because November 11th was Veterans Day, and that's when the pastor's resolution was given to us. And I think, you know, we owe so much to the men who have given their very best. How awesome to honor, you know, and the pastors did it. They did not know it. I mean, I don't know if they realized they were doing it on Veterans Day. But, you know, God allowed that to be done that day. I think, isn't that what we do when we're grateful, though? When we're grateful those who have given so much? And I think that was an act of gratefulness, and God allowed that to happen that day. Just to remind us, you're doing this.
And it's preserving freedom. As we said, just as they fought to preserve freedom, we're fighting a war of words. We're fighting a war of the mind. Really, it's a battle.
Let me add one more thing to this.
Yes.
You know, we had a patriot pastor, Lear, from New Hampshire. I'd love for him to speak all over the country. Y'all got to invite him in Oklahoma. He may have spoken, but anyway, he can trace his lineage all the way to the Mayflower. But one of the things that he told us was November 11, 1621. That's when the Mayflower Compact was signed. Now, is that? We are talking about freedom.
Uh-huh.
And folks, this is really what it is. I mean, you know, it is. It's, I hate to put it like that, but really, this is about freedom.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's about
freedom. Anyway.
Absolutely.
God is great. We did not orchestrate that date.
No.
You helped with that. And
I mean,
so, well, listeners, we're just so grateful to God. We're grateful to you for listening.
Yeah.
We hope you will share. And share the podcast. Tell them to go to cityonahill.tv. Click to the Heroes of Iwo Jima, Raising the Flag. And you'll go to the podcast site. And thank you, Miss Linda. God bless you.
Thank you. Good night.
And you too, listeners. Good night.